Welcome to PLV Radio Network out of BC, Canada, where inquiring minds meet inspiration. Coming up next is the Innovation Series.
Well, hello, Todd Livingston. This is Frank Germano with Todd Livingston for PLVRadio.com. Todd, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Frank. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all. It seems like we've been doing this fairly regularly.
I'm enjoying it, yeah.
So am I. I think the Tesla crowd and the Schauberger crowd and even the Walter Russell people and certainly poor Ed Leeds Gowman, if he was around, his ears are probably ringing right now.
We could also throw Thomas Townsend Brown in the mix, too. Why not, right?
Yes, we could. As long as we don't throw Thomas Edison in there, I'm happy with just about anything.
Edison geeks, yeah, they're like, yeah.
Yeah. If they only knew. Well, anyway, yeah. I think today's show, we are going to hit the kitchen sink and everything in between and do some Tesla talking, do some maybe even Tesla motors. We're going to do some Schauberger. We're going to do a bunch of stuff. So, Todd, I'll let you kick it off. What should we give our listeners today?
I'd like to start talking about the Tesla Spirit Radio. That is a fascinating subject of mine, and I've been building a couple of those. The history buffs of Tesla would probably know better that Tesla claimed that he heard voices from other planets when he directed antennas
using
the Spirit Radio. I don't know if you've ever used Spirit Radio before. It's actually kind of spooky. You can hear lightning strikes when exposed to different wavelengths of light. You'll have different sounds coming out of the speaker. The other thing is, this is the really spooky part. You can hear fractions of human or what sounds like or has been identified as human voices. How that happens, I've never heard a self self-satisfactory explanation why you can hear those fragmented vocal tones.
Well, definitely. I mean, when we get into the physics with some of the newest discoveries, and I use that term a little lightly and half-heartedly, what Tesla may have been tapping into, far beyond Hertzian waves, he could have been tapping into scalar waves themselves, i.e. the stuff of the universe. And with that said, and with, let's say, even if we have to go to Einstein and spooky effects at a distance, how far away could those waves have been coming and instantly receivable by Tesla would be the question. In other words, in another entire galaxy.
It's not outside the realm of possibility. I'm gonna be a little more conservative in this. I would say that those longitudinal waves that he was messing around with. Okay, I've noticed, like for instance, theremin effects, like the musical instruments you may be familiar with. You go near it, it changes the tonal and as well as the volume.
Mm-hmm. When you certainly go near, I was actually near the, just playing with the theremin program the other day at a music store, no less, by the name of Sam Ass.
I've seen some people put some effects pedals through that and make it sound totally rocking. You can talk about that for another whole episode. I'm thinking, okay, there might be a biological effect. For instance, I've seen, biological, elements affect radio transmissions. For instance, I've seen pigeons land on, microwave antennas and pigeon poop attenuate the output. And so I would take a stab in the dark saying, okay, maybe Tesla Spirit Radio could pick up, some sort of biological output from human beings and or possibly any other, animals and what have you. Because we all know that there's some, magnetoreception is actually a form of communication amongst some animals, electroreception. For instance, the elephant fish, which is a telepathic fish, uses electrocommunication to communicate with other elephant fish. So presumably, let's take the stab in the dark and say maybe people have a latent, electroreception genome that's floating around in our heads, and it's giving off magnetic pulses, which can be received by those fragmentary, parts received by the Tesla Spirit Radio. We all know that the human brain has magnetic pulses. Every time the brain fires off, it can be picked up by the medical device known as the MEG, or magnetic electroencephalography. Magnetic encephalography. Yeah, there we go. But yeah, that's my gut instinct on that one. But you might have a different slant, or maybe some of our listeners might have a different feel how those fragmentary vocal sounds are coming from.
Oh, certainly. I mean, we all know that thought is energy, and we know ultra-high frequency energy, or electricity, if we want to call that, if we follow with the Russellian science of there is only positive and negative electricity and magnetism. So we have ultra-high frequency electricity comprising our thoughts. Now, if we had to bring it back to base level, electrical engineering, then we'd say it's probably at extremely low amperage and wattage, of course. How far that can travel, though, may not be limited, i.e. longitudinal waves or scalar. And one thing that brings it back to the realm of, let's say common, something that everyone is aware of, if we think of whale songs, well, why did the U.S. military, the Navy in particular, study whales so extensively? Because they needed a way to transmit long distances underwater, and whales do that by design. Now, of course, the physics involved would be the whale's biology and inner organs and how it pressurizes and releases, bone cavity, et cetera, but the fact is one whale can transmit to another whale from the Pacific to the Atlantic Ocean, halfway around the world, for Pete's sake.
Yeah,
so,
deep water channels, yeah.
Exactly. So what exactly is, in other words, the only reason I brought that up for the listeners is, if you think of, let's say, the traditional radio broadcasting station and the wattage required to transmit, let's say, halfway around the world, well, how does this little old whale do that? You know what I mean? In other words, the output, per se, in energy required for the whale would be beyond its physical capability of doing so in traditional electronics. So the whale still does it. So what's happening?
It's going down to those deep water channels and using long bass subaudible frequencies to transmit that on a different channel. And you're using the long waves from the subaudible frequencies, for the more fringe elements, the ELF waves, via hundreds and hundreds of thousands and thousands of miles.
Exactly.
I believe elephants and crocodiles do the same thing, if I remember correctly, too.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because here I am watching a History Channel show, wow, and they brought up an octave at least, probably two octaves even, the sound of hippopotamus underwater communicating, and also elephants. And here down in the subaudible spectrum of human hearing, below 20 hertz, here was this entirely new sonic landscape of what these creatures were doing. So these hippos are talking to each other while they're underwater. These elephants are talking to each other, across vast distances with these inaudible to us low frequency sounds. So, and when they brought them up, at least an octave, I'm guessing it was probably brought up two octaves. Now, all of a sudden, here came this inaudible landscape, this just plethora of sounds, grunts, groans, almost like squeals at the subaudible spectrum. So they are actively talking. Now, let's say intelligent conversation, well, you'd have to debate on that, because they're communicating something, be it location, food supply, good water, mates, whatever. They're in communication at some extreme distances. So just because our human spectrum of 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz is no different than light. There's an entire infrared and ultraviolet. Well, there's also an audible and inaudible low and high frequency sound out there all the time.
Now, a fun experiment that I've done in the past that might interest people as well is I've done it the other way around. I've taken ultrasonic frequencies that are normally not perceived by humans, drop them down a few octaves, and now you can hear, for instance, when you hear the squeaks of mice and bats as they, you know, run underfoot or fly overhead, it opens up a giant world of soundscape. Now let's go to another degree and use a different sense, such as the visual spectrum.
Definitely.
One of the things you could do, one of the things I've done is I've actually created a pair of goggles that you can see everything in the UV spectrum that you normally don't see. And actually, it became a favorite pastime of mine, making ultraviolet photographs of things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google it, you'll be astounded. It looks magnificent.
Well, if you think a few years ago, oh my gosh, it's got to be 20 years ago now, our buddy Arnold Schwarzenegger and that movie Predator, where they'd show the scenes, and that was, you know, novel cinematography at the time, where they showed how the Predator saw in the ultraviolet and the infrared spectrum.
In the infrared,
yeah. And that was, you know, such a great, wow, look at that. Well, that's nothing, you know, that's nothing more than showing what's out there in the infrared. We see the heat signature in the ultraviolet. We see the reflection frequencies. So what was considered so unique back then, kind of commonplace anymore, but it's along the same line. The sonic landscape, no different than the visual, is just different wavelengths.
Now, I'm going to throw another whammy into it. One of my associates, okay, I'm going to throw a plug for Chris. One of my friends, Chris Goggin, it made a bed bug sniffer. Now, at a speculative level, okay, you know, having my fingers in computers and what have you, it would be fun to spatially plot out a scent trail in the into a visual output. So, for instance, you had a pair of goggles, but you had a dog sniffer, electronic dog sniffer, attached to the goggles. So, as you look around, you could see all the different smells in a visual format.
Brilliant.
I think that would be a blast.
Yes, it would.
And back to my friend, the Spirit Radio. One of the things I've toyed around with is taking those same sounds and presenting them in a spectrographic visual output. So you could see the electromagnetic spectrum as they erupt from different sounds you'll see the light as it comes in. For instance, so say if you walk near a motor with the Spirit Radio, you could see that oscillation in the magnetic field. And if a thunderstorm's come rolling around, you'll be able to see and orient your these goggles with the Spirit Radio attached, so you could see, like, you know, the electrical, you know, whammo when there's a strike, and you can see the oncoming ion field and what have you. You know, there's a wide realm of different ways you could perceive nature.
I think we should make an app for that. That'd be fantastic. Put it on an Android, put it on an iPhone. Hey, we've
got an
app
for
that. It would
turn
be fantastic.
Into a Bluetooth, make it Bluetooth compatible, and yeah, just have a little gadget, and, like, you know, all the ghost hunters would love that. You know, could
exactly.
Have that hooked up, and, you know, until they start hearing voices, and then they get creeped out and run out of the building.
Just imagine the world that would open up. Oh my gosh! One of the things
built one, that's half the reason why I'm. It's weird because, like, you hear these unearthly sounds, and if you I don't know if you've ever tried it yourself, but when you build these things, you can hear some downright damn scary sounds coming out of the speaker, and you're like, okay, if I start hearing, like, you know, disembodied voices, you know, I'm gonna turn the damn thing off. But, you know, I'll leave that. Yeah, but it will creep you out. Yeah.
The early days of cell phone, and even still, you know, somewhat today, although much, you know, to a lesser degree, if you had a trucker with a powerful, 4 watt or greater CB radio, they were cutting right
hacks.
Into your cell phone. Yeah.
Oh, dude,
so,
one of my favorite hacks is, like, if you get the odd annoying, you know, little brother or sister, I love to unplug the TV set. and tune in with my old cheap little CB radio with the antenna and talk through the unplugged speakers. It's and if you could like download some like spooky voices and sounds and play it through that, oh my gosh, the effect that you have from doing that little act, it's great.
Definitely. And one of the things I was thinking in the realm of sound in particular, I've been doing a lot of research and I guess you'd have to just say personal interest in the solfeggio frequencies. So we have these, exactly, well, the solfeggio frequencies, really it comes down to the Fibonacci spiral. And okay. So here is, let's say, the resonant frequency of the Earth itself, 7.44 hertz approximately. And this also does tangent into Tesla. So Tesla analyzed the resonant frequency of the Earth, 7.44, and in multiples, this goes up the same as in any classic music scale, doubling is an octave. So by the time you get up, it comes to what would be a natural-esque frequency, would be what we would call concert pitch, which has now been mandated at A440. Well, it strikes at A432, so just 8 hertz off. And let me just sidestep for a second. A440 has a little bit of a sinister background, and it was instigated and then put into effect during Hitler with the Nazi regime by Goebbels, Hitler's, second in command, I guess, for all practical intent and purposes. And what that was done was it was a frequency that would agitate people. It would keep them in a state of anxiety. With just that 8 hertz change from 432 hertz to 440. So concert pitch was established, and then music bumped out, particularly by Wagner and now concert tuning, to keep people in a state of agitation. And it is true. Even though most people, even professional musicians, can't physically hear it, you feel it. So just that change back over to 432, and then when you drop down half, 216, et cetera, you go down through the whole spectrum back to 7.44, thus the solfeggio frequencies, which also match with the ancient chakras. So the root chakra on up through to the head chakra, all 7 chakra tones are solfeggio frequencies. And that gets very interesting really quick when you realize Tesla knew all about Tesla knew all about the solfeggio, the ancient solfeggio frequencies, knew all about the resonant frequency of the Earth at 7.44 approximate, and he used that in building and then tuning the magnifying transmitter up into the hundreds of thousands of hertz. But it was still a resonant frequency. So as you double, you raise an octave. So many octaves above human hearing, here was the magnifying transmitter producing its effect, which was what? The freely available transmission of electricity to any point on the planet. That's Tesla. And it was based on a very ancient solfeggio frequency tuning, which was, of course, intuitively known and then passed down from what they knew as the resonant frequency of the Earth, 7.44. So it gets really interesting that when you go back in time and, let's say, these chakra bowls, some of the ancient Tibetan artifacts that they pulled up, well, when they go and ring those things, isn't it something? They ring in solfeggio frequency harmonics.
Oh, so, yeah. No, I've personally seen some of this weird stuff. I know, for instance, a long time ago, I was working with playing around with psychoacoustics, and one of my favorite things to do was tune, you know, beat frequencies down to 8 to 11 hertz, mm-hmm. which is roughly the same resonant frequency as the human eye. And when you do that, sometimes you'll get the human eye to create an anomaly in the visual field. And so, you know, it could freak out if you see it for the first time. You think you're seeing, you know, paranormal behavior. And it's really just, it's pareidolia in its fullest. But at the same time, when you know what's going on, but you do it to yourself, you'll still freak you out.
Well, that's what interested me was, and, you know, for the listeners, Just Google solfeggio, S-O-L-F-E-G-G-I-O. And YouTube is another great source where you can find it. And there's many freely available, or pull them down with an MP3 download or whatever, but there's hours and hours and hours of recordings out there, hundreds of hours, thousands of hours, really. But when you find them and you listen to them at each frequency, so let's say the 432, which I believe is the navel, not our root, but I believe that's the navel, and then it would go up and into the 7s and 8 and the 9 and 1100, and excuse me for not having this right in front of me right now, but each of those frequencies resonates with the part of the body. So the root chakra down at the base of the spine, the genital area, the navel chakra, the heart chakra, the throat chakra, the third eye chakra, and then finally the head chakra. Well, when you're listening to these frequencies through, you know, anything, headphone, good speakers, you'll feel that sensation in each part of your body that it's associated with. So there's definitely something there. There is a science behind it, but I also think the ancients were aware of this, and that's what made each of those chakras and the solfeggio frequency so special to them. But also,
oh, I'm totally in that.
Yeah, when you listen to it, you feel like it's opening up, kind of like, well, realistically, like clearing you out of any negative impacts. And again, this is exactly why, you know, in Nazi Germany and Goebbels and Hitler deliberately offset the natural esque tuning, which would have fallen at about a 432 hertz to 440, to give us that agitation, kind of like the effect of running fingernails down a blackboard. They wanted the population in a constant state of anxiety. You know, it was World War II.
Oh,
so
yeah.
By dropping that, we feel much better, you know, and it's really an interesting subject to get into, and I encourage listeners, punch in solfeggio on Google or YouTube and listen to some of those excellent recordings. Jonathan Goldman is one who was behind The Moses Code, no less, that very popular movie and book, and he did the music in there. And he has some fantastic solfeggio frequencies and harmonics. And listening to it, I'm telling you, you know, it feels like just that you feel better, I guess, is the non-technical way to put it. So
I'm
really do think there's a science there.
I'm definitely a proponent of it. I'll go take, you know, I know some people who may be more of a classically trained scientist, they might scoff at chakras and what have you. But as of late, I'm actually a big fan of ancient Indus Valley technologies. Okay, for instance, they've made that Indus Valley iron column, which is 99.999% pure iron. It does not rust. The Indus Valley civilization also had a very high degree of ancient mathematics, and some of their mathematical models are even taught today, and some of these kids are mathematical whizzes. You know, not requiring a calculator, and everybody thinks the Chinese kids are good with the abacus, but when you see some of these math tricks that they've been passed on from the Indus Valley civilization to modern day India, some of these kids with their mathematical skills are, I'm speechless when you see them do it. It's the human calculator effect, and
sure.
Some of the other things, like some of the ancient they discovered ancient rhinoplasty. They were doing nose jobs thousands of years ago from some of these same technologies. And one of my all-time favorite, being a martial arts nut job, one of my favorite things is, okay, amongst the Buddhist sects is you sometimes see the singing bowls. The singing bowls, when you have two of them together, they will create beat frequencies. And very often in their rituals, you'll see beat frequencies, which will entrain a subject, and their brains will start syncing up with the resonant beat frequency of the two bowls playing at the same time. So
sure.
I think what you're talking about with those frequencies and some of this ancient Indian technology, I think that might be right there where it's at. I was just going to finish off with my latest one is their water saving technologies. They had special dikes and dams for the rainy season, which would save their water for the dry season. And I look at it, I'm like, wow, that's like 21st century kind of idea versus like 2000 BC kind of idea.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I was just recently introduced to was cymatics. And for the listeners, certain languages, when spoken properly, produce, let's say you have a plate, metal plate that's thin, and you have stand on it. When you speak the vowels and consonants properly, the sand vibrates, i.e. either through amplification or just the human voice, and as that sand is vibrating on that plate or membrane, it forms the picture of the letter or vowel in Hebrew is a good example. Now, how do you explain that one? So somebody sat there and went, A, E, I, whatever. But those letters and vowels form the exact shape as we see them today written down. Well, they form that in the material, i.e. the vibrating sand forms those shapes. Now, that is the cymatic explanation. But it goes beyond that because that means now that words or sounds are extremely powerful. So those waves were known, were identified, and thus, you know, as we would say today with English, A, E, I, O, U, and then the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, et cetera, if English were, which it's not, a language, and I forgot, I'll have to put it in the notes, what the exact term is for this. However, if English were one of these base languages, then we would see A, B, C, D, E, F, G appearing in the sand. Now, Hebrew being one, of which I do not speak Hebrew, when you pronounce that alphabet properly, each consonant and vowel appears in the sand as it was written down. That's pretty cool. Very interesting. You know, and
makes you worried about saying things like the Tetragrammaton and stuff like that.
Exactly. Well, there was one I was going to follow into that. What always struck me, and not to toss a religious note in there, but if we take original scripture, in the beginning, God said. Now, no matter how you tear that down back to the base language, it is definitely something was spoken, denoting a sound. So, sound created the universe.
Now, back that one up.
Yeah. That leads to some amazing physics right there, i.e. sound is energy, is power, is waves, and Tesla said it. If you want to understand the secret of the universe, and I quote, think in terms of frequency, resonance, and vibration. This is Tesla saying that, and I think he's spot on. He is correct. It is resonance, frequency, and vibration.
My two cents, I'm looking at it and saying, yeah, we are a quantum fractal waveform being resonated through multiple superpositions. You know, if you're a believer of M theory like I am, some people, I'm not a big fan of string theory, but I do, you know, versus string theory versus supergravitation, I'm more leaning towards supergravitation as it evolves into M theory, which has multiple dimensions. And so, yeah, it would. And what does M theory say? You get to the edge of the universe, you create more universes. So, having that said, our existence theoretically could be construed as a quantum fractal waveform.
And as corny as this sounds, I think, therefore, I am is not so far off.
No. I think
our
it's spot on.
Create and direct our reality. I think that is pretty much the essence of all these new, and I say new loosely in quotation, but things such as The Secret, The Law of Attraction, well, they all are saying the same thing. If you put out those positive thoughts, i.e. imagining yourself fully in a position or having something or whatever it may be. Well, the mind sends out that energy, that thought, then it interacts with the energy all around, the stuff of the universe, let's say, and it manifests. And the only difference with that, between everything we've just been talking, is most people don't have intention behind it, i.e. physically able to believe that it's already happened and that they are in it, and then putting an emotion combined with it, which is a powerful thought that's now out there, and almost like sending it out and it bouncing back off a mirror and it coming back, i.e. the universe being the stuff, not like a Star Trek, you know, I can't believe I'm going to go there, but not like the Star Trek where you just, you know, request something and there it is in the replicator, but something of that nature where our thoughts really are energy and they do direct an outcome.
They are. The latest research suggests that there is a very strong quantum element to the microtubules within the brain itself.
Sure.
So yeah, it's almost like the brain is a radio transceiver of sorts. It can send and receive messages of sorts. So, you know, I think it boils down to whether you believe that the universe as a larger whole is a hologram or not. And so there's a lot of there's a lot of weirdness that goes on. And if the universe is a hologram, all of a sudden it makes a lot more sense, because then you all of a sudden, like now, that brings into light the whole concept of, you know, quantum entanglement. When you have, like, you know, you have one capacitor charged and another capacitor charged, and you pull them apart, and the two plates, you know, when you ding on one side, the one might be light years away, it'll ding as well. I'm thinking that might be a right on hypothesis. Not crystal clear, perfect, you know, in view, but I think it gives us a good framework where theoretically you could start to explore that stuff. And
well,
who knows,
let's
you might
do this one. As is always the case, Todd, we've come to yet the end of another episode on PLVRadio.com, but why don't we pick up quantum entanglement in the next episode?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
It definitely would. Well, listeners, again, this is the amazing, the brilliant, the fantastic, the wonderful, can I say anything else, Todd? Todd Livingston from the Boston, Massachusetts area, and Frank Germano out here in Beverly Hills, California. And until next time, guys, Todd, want to wrap it up?
Always eloquent as usual, Mr. Frank. Take care, folks. I'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Frank and Todd for PLV Radio, and here's the end of another week's show. Thank you all.
Bye, everyone.
You have been listening to the Innovation Series. If you missed any part of the show, you can find it on plv-radio.com under Par Shows tab.